Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
6:46, 14 before 7 o'clock, Tommy Tucker, WWL, highs of 95 today. It was the October 1st, in case you're not aware. It was the hottest, driest September in history that we have just concluded. Highs today of 95, and it's going to be pretty much that way all the way through the weekend. And then they're saying next week, maybe a cool front that would keep the lows to 82, which is definitely better than what we've been having. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll is asking you, as it relates to the impeachment, how do you feel about it? Do you oppose it? Do you support it? Or are you of the, well, let's wait and see what happens and see where it goes persuasion as it stands now? 76% oppose it, 16% support it, and 10% say wait and see where it goes. I think part of the conversation as it relates to this is you got to watch what you ask for, because you may just get it, right? Next time, maybe it might be your person in the crosshairs. Jeff Engel joins us, founding director of Southern Methodist University's Center for Presidential History and co-author of Impeachment and American History. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi, good morning. Good to talk to you.
Good night. Fun fact, Jimmy Carter turns 95 today.
Oh, happy birthday to him.
Yeah, that's a long time, considering the stress of the Oval Office. Tell us historically what we need to know about impeachment in the context of what is going on now on Capitol Hill.
You know, I think there are actually three things to pull out from history. There are three examples we usually turn to when we talk about impeachment, two actual impeachments, Andrew Johnson after the Civil War and Bill Clinton at the turn of the 21st century. And then, of course, the near impeachment of Richard Nixon, who resigned when it became clear he was not only going to be impeached, but convicted. And you can draw a lesson from each of those. For Andrew Johnson, the lesson is that he was a remarkably unliked person within his own party. That say he had basically spent time insulting members of his own party and being a bore who violated presidential norms, if you will. Therefore, when it came time for people to essentially choose whether or not they wanted to back the president, there were a lot of people who thought, I have very little personal incentive to do this. I don't like the man, if you will. The second thing from Richard Nixon is that Nixon's support, especially among Republicans, was actually very high right up until the moment that it was not. That is to say, the majority of Republicans in the country, Nixon, of course, was a Republican, supported the president until the smoking gun tapes came out. That is to say, until evidence came out making it clear that Nixon had actually committed a crime. And his support evaporated overnight. One good example of this is that his vote counters in the Congress essentially estimated that they had about 40, 45 senators who would never vote to convict. Within 48 hours, that turned into 14, which is all to say that people today who say that there's no way the Senate could convict, history suggests, well, actually, just wait. Something could happen.
Let me interrupt for a second. For people that don't understand or not history, kind of whatever, they don't follow history, Jeff, when you say the tipping point, the what was it, smoking gun, what was that?
Well, so Nixon, just to back people up to the chronology, the Watergate break-in that ultimately does Nixon in occurs in the mid-1972. Nixon goes on to win a massive re-election but the investigations basically unravel a growing plot, or one of his aides called the cancer on the presidency, over 73 and 74. And one of the things that was discussed ultimately was that it was revealed that Nixon had audio tapes of his time in the Oval Office, which he refused to hand over to Congress. Ultimately, this went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled that Nixon had to hand over those tapes. Those tapes contained a lot of evidence of Nixon talking about how he was going to do a cover-up for the things he had claimed he wasn't actually doing in public. So essentially what we get is an 18-month discussion, investigation, whatever term you want to use, that leads to the production of new evidence that suddenly was convincing for the American people. And he resigned within a week after that was actually released.
American people, and more importantly, I guess, the Senate, right?
Exactly. I mean, you know, the senators have to ask themselves at this point, as they did in 74, you know, are they willing to genuinely sacrifice themselves for this president? Because most of Nixon's most vigorous supporters, especially in the House, to be honest, actually lost election in 74 and 76.
Wow.
So,
take a break here. We'll be right back, Jeff, and then we'll pick it up with Clinton. And how does it relate to President Trump? I think for a lot of people, he has something to do with being an unlike person, something to do with Andrew Johnson for some. For others, I guess, as it relates to audio, are we close to that with the transcript of this call? So we'll pick it up here. We'll come back. 651, 9 before 7, traffic now on WWL. 6:56, 4 before 7 here at WWL. I'm Tommy Tucker, talking about impeachment inquiry with Jeff Engel, founding director of Southern Methodist University Center for Presidential History and co-author of Impeachment and American History. That book, Professor, is available at Amazon, usual outlets?
Everywhere. And as you can imagine, sales have increased dramatically in the last week.
Would imagine so. Text comes in. I'm just trying to speed us along here, Professor, because the news is coming up.
Sure.
Why was Clinton impeached but not removed from office? Clinton was actually impeached not for Monica Lewinsky, but for lying during a deposition under oath, correct?
Yes, this is the critical thing that people need to be thinking about in the next couple of weeks and months. Clinton clearly committed a crime. The crime was perjury. He clearly lied under oath when asked about an affair he was having with an intern. But the American people, by and large, decided, yes, that's true, but that's not a high crime. A high crime is a crime against the state, against the people, against the body politic. The concern I think that Donald Trump supporters need to have at this point is that we're not talking at this point about a potential illegality involving lying about an affair, which, to be honest, many Americans can relate to, but rather about dealing with foreign policy, about dealing with international security. By definition, something that involves the welfare of the state, so by definition, a high crime.
So politically, at that time, who had the Senate? Republicans or Democrats?
Democrats did.
All right, so they decided to hear it, but when it came, it was a vote strictly along partisan lines, and they failed to get two-thirds?
Yes, actually. In fact, I think I'm a smoke guy. I'm sorry, the Republicans had it. But it was basically a partisan vote, and one of the reasons it was a partisan vote was because the Senate Majority Leader and Minority Leader basically agreed before the trial that this is ridiculous, that this was not a high crime, and that they were going to allow their people to vote along strictly party lines, never basically asking for an individual statement of guilt or innocence from each senator, voted along party lines, which protected everyone, because if they vote against party lines, that meant that everybody would be politically safe, but would also ensure that the president never got the two-thirds vote for conviction that would be required to leave him from office.
People won't admit this, but I remember when Barack Obama was elected president, I got calls and texts about the republic is under attack, we won't survive. I got the same thing when President Trump was elected. I think the republic will survive. But do you think eventually President Trump winds up impeached, and does anything happen before 2020?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. I think at this point we're in a situation where I put the odds at about 85-90% that Democrats in the House choose to impeach him. The real question is going to be, will he be convicted in the House? And as I said before, history suggests that those who are completely 100% confident that there's no way the Senate would ever convict him might want to look at history to suggest that actually this could go a different way quite suddenly.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. Jeff Engel, founding director of Southern Methodist University Center for Presidential History and co-author of Impeachment and American History. Back in a flash, we'll talk about the Saints. And are they a good enough team without Drew Brees to keep going and winning?
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.